This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. If you buy eggs labeled organic, you might assume that chickens spent some time outdoors. Turns out that's not the case. An Obama-era rule that would have ensured organic chickens got some fresh air may now be scrapped. The comment period for withdrawal of the rule ends today. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports.
There are so many types of eggs in the cooler at this Ohio supermarket. Free range, cage free, organic.
Nope, would not buy them. Just regular eggs is good.
Retired factory worker Judy Wells chooses a big 18 egg carton from the bottom row. But Rachel Goodrich is willing to pay more than a dollar extra for a half carton, just six, because they're organic eggs. One thing she expects from the organic label is that the animals will be treated well.
I'm a big animal lover. I think it's worth spending an extra few dollars.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture administers the National Organic Program. For eggs to be certified, the hens must be fed organic feed and can't be given antibiotics. There's no plan to change that. But the organic industry has debated an animal welfare rule for years. So last January, as President Obama was leaving office, the USDA issued a new rule. It would require organic egg producers to allow their chickens to spend at least 6 hours a day outdoors, as they do at this hen house in rural eastern Ohio. It's set up a bit like seating in a small stadium. Along the top row are nests where the chickens lay eggs. When temperatures get above 40 degrees, the family that runs this farm opens a series of rectangular doors.
This is a door where they go out.
23-year-old Marie Erb runs this operation with her husband.
This latch I always have open during the summertime when I'm letting them out.
They can go out as they please.
The Erbs are part of a group of about 30 family farms in the region that produce eggs distributed to supermarkets in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. It's organized by Pete and Jerry's Organic Eggs, based in New Hampshire, which sees the new animal treatment rule as an important clarification to the organic standards. Jesse LaFlamme is Pete and Jerry's CEO. He says without the change, a few producers can tarnish the organic industry. He gives the example of Herbrook's Poultry Ranch, a major egg supplier with a huge farm in Michigan. It's added something called poultry porches to the barns.
And they tacked a little tiny porch on the side of them where a fraction of a fraction of the hens in those barns might be able to go out at one time, if they could actually find their way to it.
Poultry porches are currently allowed under organic standards, but that would change with the new rule. Herbrooks declined an interview for this story, but it pointed to comments on the rule by the National Assembly of State Animal Health Officials that says poultry porches help protect birds so they aren't vulnerable to predators and disease. Caitlin McCulloch is with the American Farm Bureau Federation, a group that lobbies on behalf of farmers and ranchers. Her organization wants the rule withdrawn because it could prevent some of her members from using the valuable organic label.
Many farmers and ranchers had already invested in the organic system and made some substantial changes to how they did things just to transition to organic, and that this would be an additional hoop to jump through. And that might not all be possible for all organic producers.
But the Organic Trade Association supports the rule and says it balances the expectations of organic consumers with the realities of commercial livestock and poultry production. The group points out that the rule took 10 years to create. It's suing the USDA for failing to put the rule into action. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant in Sugar Creek, Ohio.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. A major pipeline project that would ship Marcellus shale gas from Pennsylvania to New England has suffered a major setback. Federal regulators have upheld a decision by New York State that would block construction of the line. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips reports on how some Pennsylvania landowners have already lost property and trees to the embattled project.
In the spring of 2016, men with chainsaws, accompanied by armed U.S. Marshals, descended upon a Susquehanna County maple syrup farm and cut down about 300 mature trees to make way for the Constitution Pipeline. About a month later, New York denied pipeline builder Williams water crossing permits for the project, essentially stopping it in its tracks. Megan Holleran's family owns the farm and unsuccessfully fought the taking of their maple trees. She says the recent decision by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is bittersweet.
It's just incredibly frustrating because literally what we were asking Williams and trying to directly talk to the people building the Constitution Pipeline, say, can you guys please just wait to cut down our trees until you're certain you have to? That's exactly what we were saying to them. And they just ignored us and cut down all the trees.
Holleran says it's unclear how the family could ever recoup its losses. Meanwhile, Williams says it's planning to appeal. Chris Stockton is a spokesman for the Constitution Pipeline.
We are planning to seek rehearing and, if necessary, appeal this decision in order to continue to develop this much-needed infrastructure project, which is designed to bring natural gas to a region of the country that has recently experienced some of the highest prices in the world.
Stockton says the Constitution Pipeline is needed to provide cheaper energy to New England, where the cost of natural gas has jumped this winter compared to prices in the Mid-Atlantic. Opponents argue the pipeline would damage waterways and the gas could be exported to Canada. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
On the campaign trail and in his first State of the State address, Governor Jim Justice talked about the timber industry and boosting furniture manufacturing in West Virginia. One of the most successful furniture manufacturers in the state is in Berkeley Springs. In the final part of our occasional series on the timber and forest products industry in the Mountain State, independent producer Gene Snediger visited the Gat Creek Furniture Factory.
Gat Creek, which produces handcrafted solid wood furniture, is among the highest quality furniture made in America. 50-year-old owner and CEO Gat Caperton shows me the process, beginning to end.
These guys run the front ends. They're the busiest people here, and we basically will bring a truckload of wood in every week. That truckload typically comes from the Frankie Wilson Lumber Company out of Elkins, West Virginia, and we'll unload and cut through literally a truckload of lumber a week.
Gat Creek specializes in premium Appalachian hardwoods, mostly cherry, maple, ash, and walnut. They grow within a 250-mile radius of Berkeley Springs.
What I often like to tell both our customers and our suppliers is the best furniture comes from the best wood. And we've got fantastic wood all around us. We have fantastic suppliers in terms of mills and drying operations and stuff that really give us a fantastic product. No one's really done a better job than we've done here in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, in maintaining a healthy, vibrant, growing, diverse forest. It also has to be a forest that has the most beautiful woods in the world.
The people who unload the lumber sort through it, board by board.
In manufacturing, we're very conscious of what you automate and what you don't automate. When you have variabilities in input, like a board of lumber, and I promise you, every board here is different. They're snowflakes. We try to keep wide boards and the randomness and the natural variation that makes wood so beautiful, we try to capture that. And so all of our, we refer to as our front up here, we're making panels and basically the beginning parts for furniture is all done on a board by board basis. So we're essentially manufacturing the panels that ultimately become furniture instead of buying engineered panels that we cut up.
Next, we come to an automated part of the process, a bank of three sophisticated machines that use the latest technology to cut furniture parts, such as a table leg. It's called CNC technology, or a computer numerically controlled machine.
This machine here will take literally a board that's a square or rectangular board and cut into a three-dimensional shape for a leg. This technology has changed the face of manufacturing, especially in this country and especially with woodworking. It is wildly fast and wildly exact in what it does, and it gets better every year.
And how much would a machine like this cost?
These machines are $350,000 machines. It's a big, big check, but it does a lot of work.
Gat Creek started in the 1960s as Tom Seeley Furniture, which specialized in antique reproductions. Gat Caperton purchased Tom Seeley in 1996 and continued that tradition, but also introduced more contemporary lines. Today, the company employs 140 people who work from 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. 5 days a week. Outside this facility, they also employ 20 independent Amish and Mennonite workshops that supply furniture to Gat Creek. Once we leave the sophisticated technology area that creates panels and parts, we come to an area of 40 or so individual workstations. This is not traditional assembly line manufacturing.
Each of our folks that are builders here have their own workbench. They specialize in 5 or 10 pieces. They'll build the entire piece of furniture at their bench. When they get done building it, they'll sign it, date it, and then they'll push it into the finish room and be finished.
My name is Paige Wagner, and I build tables. It's very interesting because each one is different. All the woods are beautiful, and you know that the table you build is going to be in someone's home for 100 years. And we sign everything that we build, so, you know, they'll know.
How many tables have you built, Paige?
47, almost 4,800.
A table builder will typically build 3 or 4 tables a day. Each one may be different. Not far from Paige Wagner's workbench is Chuck Hemp, who builds table bases. I happened to meet him on his very last day at Gat Greek Furniture. He joined the company a long time ago.
31 years, 6 months, and 27 days.
Tell me how many table bases you've made since you got here.
64,872.
We walk among the table builders, bed builders, those who build cabinets, chests, sideboards, and entertainment centers. This type of handcrafted furniture doesn't come cheap. It's also the sort of furniture that lasts a lifetime, or possibly two. But if given the right capital investment and larger scale production, Gat Caperton believes West Virginia could become a major manufacturer of mid-priced furniture.
We're a niche manufacturer, but it doesn't have to be that way. We'll never be the cheapest guys, but we could certainly be at a point where you could manufacture for the masses. Every once in a while you get discouraged because you always can see someone importing something at a ridiculous price. And I like to remind myself that the best-selling car in America is not the cheapest car in America, by a long shot. And so we'll never build the cheapest furniture in West Virginia, but we certainly could be building the best-selling furniture in West Virginia. Everything after it's built comes into here, which is our finishing room. It's really a two-step process. The first is putting a finish or a color on it, which would be a stain or some distressing or whatever visual effects you'd like. The second part of the operation is putting a catalyzed lacquer on it. That's really a protective coat that's clear that protects the wood from moisture exchange, primarily water. So the first half we're doing the color work as a process we do not just by hand, but literally board by board. So you really get a beautiful piece of furniture at the end of the day. Once that's completed, it dries overnight and we'll move into our finishing room, which we've done a lot of automation in. And that is the idea that we want consistency and cleanliness. So we've got essentially an operation that works much like an operating room. So we keep it as a clean room environment. We use a lot of robotics there that allow us to spray areas and surface areas that you can't do by hand. Pretty cool technology.
As we head toward the shipping department, I ooh and ah over beautiful tables and sideboards that will end up in homes and apartments across America. Though Gat Creek Furniture had its ups and downs through the housing recession, 2017 was its best year ever. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Liz McCormick. I'm Teresa Wills.